WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Ray Porter with your WSLR news headlines for Thursday, July 30th. The League of Women Voters of Manatee County and the environmental organization Suncoast Waterkeeper are mobilizing opposition to developer Carlos Baruff's Long Bar Point development, a long, controversial, large-scale waterfront project in Bradenton overlooking Sarasota Bay. Current applications continue to seek state and local authorizations for infrastructure components such as retaining walls, other immovable structures, and wetland fill permits. Many local residents and environmental advocates have pushed back against the high-density building, potential dredging, and threats to local marine habitats and seagrass beds. The Manatee County Commission on Tuesday set in motion a moratorium for construction of data centers. With that, Manatee joins Sarasota County, the City of Northport, and the City of Venice. All of them are seeking to first understand the impact and to create permitting processes before allowing construction of artificial intelligence data centers. DeSoto County approved a one-year moratorium on Tuesday, but that action only came after an 800-plus acre data center project proposed earlier this year was approved on 34 acres at a decommissioned power plant for DCIP Group. Ultimately, DCIP said it hopes to build more than a dozen data centers across 1,300 acres. The biggest potential problems with AI data centers concern extreme energy consumption, heavy water depletion, and emissions. A 56-year-old former circus elephant will be the subject of a PETA protest on Friday in Sarasota. The elephant, named Oka, is morbidly obese and visibly struggles to move, according to the animal rights group. Loomis Brothers Circus is currently at the Sarasota Fairgrounds, one of 26 stops in Florida, and it uses the elephant to give human rides and to perform, according to PETA. PETA supporters and members of Florida Voices for Animals will deploy a life-size crying elephant outside the Loomis Brothers Circus at the Sarasota Fairgrounds, with a banner reading, "Free Oka, Beaten and Chained for the Circus," as they demand the retirement of what they have called the elephant who was left behind. Loomis Brothers is one of the last circuses still using animals. The circus has said all of its animals are being routinely inspected by veterinarians. And speaking of area water shortages, recent rains have not yet made up for the lengthy period of drought this area has experienced. Normally, Floridians see regular rounds of thunderstorms ramp up in June, hit a peak in July through August, and begin slowing down again in September. But the Southwest Florida Water Management District reports that since Hurricane Milton dropped as much as a foot of flooding rain on Sarasota and Manatee counties in October 2024, the region has seen just 2 months of above-normal rainfall, May 2025 and May 2026. This means we are experiencing our driest nine-month period since records first began in Sarasota, dating back to 1911. This has been Ray Porter with your WSLR news headlines for Thursday, July the 30th.
Welcome to The Detail. I'm your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. This week, I am rebroadcasting a show that I did with the hosts of The Big Picture Manatee. I was their guest, and we were talking about dark money. As you all know, if you've been listening to the show, researching political committees and local dark money is one of my focuses. And the hosts of this show, Misty Servia, Reggie Bellamy, and Sherry Corrier, have all experienced the impact of local dark money. Misty Servia is a former Manatee County Commissioner. Reggie Bellamy is a former Manatee County Commissioner who's actually in the race now. He's going to be on the ballot in November. And then Sherry Corrier is a former Manatee County administrator who stepped down after a slate of candidates were elected and they took issue with her performance. It was quite controversial. This was the 2020 Manatee County Commission that was elected with the help of political consultant Anthony Petticini. So that I think most people would characterize as the most development friendly, special interest oriented county commission that Manatee County had ever seen. So thanks so much for being here. And let's have a listen to my discussion with the Big Picture Manatee about local dark money.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Picture Manatee. It's so great to see everyone. We're excited to have this episode today, and we're coming to you, as always, from the Big Picture Manatee, where we educate, inform all of our citizens here in Manatee County on topics that are important. So today, everybody, we are so pleased to welcome back to the Big Picture Manatee, Kathy Antunes. Kathy, it's so great to have you.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes,
yeah, great to be here.
Kathy helped us back in 2023 unpack some really important information as it relates to the trail of dark money. And so there's some crazy stuff going on again, everybody, with you're getting flyers in the mail, you're seeing Facebook posts and everything. And so we wanted to bring Kathy back. You know, Kathy's professional experience includes a long career in executive sales with Fortune 500 companies. Also, she's a recipient of numerous national and regional awards. Her tenure also includes a successful launch on national brands and advisory committees. And Kathy also is at local key leadership positions with various associations. And most exciting for us that we get to hear her about every week is she's the host of the radio show, The Detail, at 96.5, right? I got that number right.
Yes. Yes. And 100.1 in Bradenton.
Okay, then that additionally, yeah. And so we are thrilled to have Kathy. Also, Kathy's the author of the book, Local Dark Money, Citizens United Meets Main Street in Sarasota and Manatee. And so, Kathy, thank you so much for being here. We can't wait to get started.
Thank you. It's crazy season again. It's election time. And the mailers are coming fast and furious, so it's my hope to share one example of a local PAC that's at work in Manatee County. And, you know, we can kind of peel back the onion and see who's pumping money into your local race.
Yeah, so that's exciting news. And again, welcome for being here, Kathy. But I want to jump right in and just, you know, get that clarity out to the community as far as what is dark money or how did it start? And is it legal? And we'll just see where we are and see what we can get from you and move forward. So I'm excited. So let's talk about dark money.
Yeah, let's talk about it. You know, you said, is it legal? All of this is legal. I think we're at a time. You know, George Washington warned against cunning, ambitious, cunning, unscrupulous men that would try to divide us. And of course, you know, the more that the people with the gold get to make the rules, the less we actually have a functioning democracy or republic. So, you know, when it's my experience with people, when voters understand who's trying to buy their vote, the impact of the money is, it changes, you know. So it's legal. I don't think it's good. Citizens United ushered in corporations are people and money is speech. I personally disagree with both of those. And I think when people look around in Florida and see all of the traffic, the environmental degradation, the flooding, the overbuilding, this is the purview of local government, and there are organized forces looking to buy local government. And so that's what, you know, that's what my work is really about, educating people on the importance of local government, educating people on the importance of knowing who they're voting for, but educating them on who's trying to buy their vote. So I'm excited to share.
Yeah. Well, and again, if you can just, you know, define a little bit, you know, what is dark money and how did it start?
Okay, well, you know, for me, people vary in their definitions. For me, dark money is when donors are trying to hide their identity. And the typical tool that's used are political committees. So when you get a mailer and it says Citizens for Clean Air, or, you know, Friends of So-and-So, someone running, or, you know, the Committee for Veterans, all of these committees have very innocuous, positive sounding names. That doesn't mean that there's an actual group of people meeting who care about government. You know, it's a funding mechanism for the most part, right? And so they always sound good. But what I've seen is that these committees are typically funded by special interests who have an interest in buying votes. Who are they? On the local level, it's typically developers who want land use decisions in their favor, or they want to be able to buy public land cheap, or they want local taxes to pay for their infrastructure rather than public safety or health care. It can be charter schools looking for approvals from the school board. So there's a lot of special interests that benefit from having people on a school board, people on a county commission, people on a city commission that are going to rubber stamp the projects they want, that are going to approve their corporate charter schools. So we just need to be aware that we don't want our local government to be for sale.
Right. So just giving that some thought, is this just a local issue, or this is impacting state offices and government, I mean, for the governor and federal offices as well?
Well, I think most people really do understand that dark money and PACs is happening at a federal and a state level. What I think most people don't understand is that it's happening in school board races. It's happening in county commission races. It's happening in city commission races. Because I think a lot of people write those seats off. Maybe it's not that important. But the fact is, real estate fortunes are made in large part due to the decisions of a city or county commission. And corporate charter schools need school boards that are going to allow them to come in, right, to the community. So local government is a lot more important, I think, than most people understand. And also, I think local voters may not truly appreciate the deep pockets that are trying to influence their vote. So when you're stuck in traffic, if your community floods because there's lack of infrastructure, you need to start thinking about who is local government really working for. Are they working for you? Or are they working for donors who help people, certain people, get elected?
Yeah, well said. You know, it's that season, right? We get home from work. The first thing we do is go to the mailbox and pull out the mail. And nowadays we get 3, 4, or 5 big, colorful, glossy flyers in the mailbox. And I've heard a lot of people say, it's okay, I don't pay any attention to them. I just take them directly to my recycle bin. But by that time, that message has already been delivered to the voter. Mm-hmm. So they have seen the name. They probably got the message about lower taxes or controlling growth or whatever that person is trying to convey. But that's the average citizen's spot, that this is a nefarious campaign. Like, are there any good ones, or are, what does the average citizen look for?
I agree with what Reggie was saying before. You know, the sheer volume from one candidate giving a message, that can be effective. It has been in the past. I think Manatee County in 2024 really showed the rest of the state how you can organize and take back your county commission from these special interests. But your point is well taken. A piece of mail is something you have to read it to decide what you're going to do with it. And the reading is the point, right? I would encourage anyone getting these mailers to to look at them critically. If there's a committee funding them, it's typically not going to be a grassroots candidate that gets a committee putting out mailers to either attack their opponent or support them. That's usually a committee funded by special interests. So you have to have a very healthy sense of skepticism. Look at who's funding it. Look at what the message says. Does it make sense? I would tell you that oftentimes it's the candidate that's sending out the least number of mailers. That's the one who's probably really going to work for you. The one that has the larger share of voice, as we used to call it in my industry, the one who's, just flooding the zone with their message. Why do they have so much money to flood the zone?
Yep.
And who's, it's not the $50 check from your neighbor that's paying for all those mailers. It's the 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, or, from big donors in our area that's paying for those mailers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Thank you for saying that, because I don't think most people even take the time to consider that mailer that just ended up in their mailbox cost tens of thousands or more dollars to send that one mailer. And yeah. Where did it come from? So if someone suspects that there is a PAC behind this message and maybe it's not really the candidate, where do they go to research this stuff, Kathy? How can they figure it out?
So I'd like to walk you through how I figure it out. And then, quite honestly, when I always cared, but when I would go into a voting booth, did I really know what was going on at a local level when I was raising my kids, working full time? Honestly, no. I did my best. So when I share this research, I don't want to give the message to your listeners like, this is annoying to do. This is not something voters should have to do. I don't want to normalize it, We have a convoluted system that's designed to hide this information from you. So I have time now. It's how I give back. It's how I help my community. I have time to share this research that, quite frankly, most people aren't going to do. And quite frankly, most people, we shouldn't have to do it. We just shouldn't. We are in a time right now that's very convoluted. It's not set up for the benefit of the voter. It's set up for the benefit of the special interests. So, but when voters understand it and they question it, that's the beginning of changing it. So that's what I'm looking to share. But that said, there may be some motivated people out there who want to do the research. So that's great. And I'll show you how to do it.
Great. Okay. Joe is.
Okay. So I am going to start. So here is a typical mailer, right? This was given to me, and I've taken out the address. And Micron is an incumbent county commissioner who is running for re-election. And you can see his message. It says he's stopping harmful overdevelopment. But in the corner where the address is, it says paid electioneering communication paid for by friends of Mike Ron. And there's a Tallahassee address. So there's a couple things about that. When I first ran, you could not, I only ran for county commission, but it was really specific. A candidate was not supposed to even talk to a PAC, let alone chair a PAC. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you've got PACs like this one with a Tallahassee address that are being run by, seasoned PAC managers, political committee managers out of Tallahassee. the intention of our rules in the state of Florida is that local political committees active in local races are supposed to be registered locally. So most of these committees are not registered in Manatee or Sarasota County. Most of them are registered on the state website. So you have to go to the Florida elections website and look for committees to look them up and see who's donating to them. And that right there is already something that most people aren't going to do. So if you look then, if you go to the state website, and let me just, can you all see that with the...
Yes.
Okay. So I just need to scoot a little to... Okay.
So while you're doing that, Kathy, you're saying on any candidate, so as anywhere across the county that you're getting a district thing, you know, we can go do this on any candidate as we're going to go through this example, which is really helpful because, mm-hmm. you know, I live in a completely different district than this example, but I've gotten
probably
10 glossy flyers from the same candidate mm-hmm. in a week's time.
Yeah. Right. So exactly. So when you look at that committee, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be registered with the state of Florida. So you can go to the state elections website, look at, look up committees and then type in the first few words of that committee name and you should be able to find it. So here, like I said, you know, you've got a candidate chairing a committee. Here it's Mr. Ron, and there are dozens of committees like this. There's, you know, in Sarasota County when Teresa Mast ran, there's Friends of Teresa Mast, there's Friends of Bridget Ziegler. There's tons of committees like this, Friends of Neil Rainford. So candidates aren't prohibited from doing this anymore. And I think this is a real vulnerability ethically because a political committee is a means for donors to bypass campaign finance limits. In the state of Florida now, the state has preempted local limits. Used to be in Sarasota County, you could only give $200. Used to be in the city that you could only give $200 and you had to be a person, right? But with political committees, the state of Florida has preempted all local campaign finance rules, and the state is allowing candidates to chair their own PACs. So in this case, you're seeing Mr. Ron is chairing a PAC, and David Ramba, who is a Tallahassee PAC manager, is the treasurer and registered agent. So as I look down, who's contributing to this PAC? And I got to say, you know, the cost of putting out a mailer can range from $20,000 to $45,000. Being practiced at this research, I see there are two political committees, and this is how donors hide their identity. Money is transferred from one committee to another, and you have to keep looking at the donors of these committees. You have to keep following the money trail to see who's donating that would have an interest in Manatee County. So But right off the bat, I'm looking at these donations. $15,000 is unlikely to have paid for that mailer. There's more money behind this PAC than being shown. And one of the strategies I've seen is that the money donations are often reported in full well after the election. Okay, so we've got the Coalition for Better Care and the Committee for Justice. Those are the contributors. And the expenditure, you can see, it's only $1,500 to Mr. Ramba's law group. You don't see the money being spent for the mailer. So, you know, the reporting is behind, as it typically is. But we have to look at those two committees now. So let's look at the Coalition for Better Care. And the Coalition for Better Care Not surprising, it's chaired by the same PAC manager, David Ramba. He's the treasurer. He's the registered agent. He works out of Tallahassee. Who's contributing to this PAC? Well, there's some PACs I recognize here. One is Florida Country. Florida Country was active in Sarasota County, so we'll look at that. There's Strong Communities of Southwest Florida, another PAC I recognize, and the other donor, Committee for Justice, Transportation, and Business is the full name. You can see there's a lot of donations. There it is again, 25 grand, 50 grand. That's a pretty big muscle PAC here. So there's $1.3 million in the PAC Coalition for Better Care, and it's getting money from other PACs that I recognize. Let's look at Florida Country. So Florida Country was active for a number of years in Sarasota County to unseat. One of the focuses was making sure that Mike Hutchinson didn't win. It was helpful. This PAC was helpful to Mike Moran. And I had created this graphic. It's current to July of 2024. But there's more money that's gone into Florida Country. We'll look at that. But here's where you really see, okay, who are the donors that are active in Manatee County? Florida Country gave to the Coalition for Better Care. The Coalition for Better Care gave to Mike Ron, Friends of Mike Ron. What do you see? 73 grand from Benderson Development Affiliates. Carlos Baruth, 17 grand. That's Medallion Homes. Schrader Manatee Ranch, over 11 grand. Bill Merrill is a prominent development attorney in Sarasota County. He gave $5,000. Pat Neal's got $5,000 in there. And there are other development interests. And we have two LLCs that are anonymous, incorporated outside the state of Florida, Zappa LLC and Woodmont Investments, that also have given to Florida Country. Now, if I look at Florida Country's contribution list, which I just pulled down today, you can see my graphic was cut off at July 2024. But let's look at the money that's gone into the PAC since then. You can see another 20 grand from Benderson Development and 30 grand from Ramba Law Group, right? Which is David Ramba's address, which is, you know, the entity that got paid for running the PAC. This is a little weird because I don't see this very often. I'm seeing this kind of thing more. It's just odd that the man running the PAC and getting paid to run the PAC, the same firm is donating to the PAC. So that's odd to Florida Country. And then when I look at the expenditures, so I look at what's gone on lately, you can see that there is Florida PAC gave to a local school board candidate recently. So, you know, it shows you, okay, here's a PAC that worked against a grassroots candidate in Sarasota County. It's getting lots of money from developers. It got more money, you know, after my graphic was designed. These folks have an interest, a clear interest in making sure that there are friendly faces at the county commission, at the Manatee County Commission. So let's look at the other PAC that gave money to Friends of Mike Ron. Again, Committee for Justice, Transportation, and Business. This is run by David Ramba, the same PAC manager out of Tallahassee. Let's look at how big this pack is. It's about 5 pages of donations for a total of, it's a $5 million pack. And who's got an interest in helping Mike Ron? Well, you can see on August 13th of 2025, Friends of Teresa Mast gave $30,000 to the Committee for Justice, Transportation, and Business. The Masts and Mr. Ron have a professional relationship with each other. And that was the donation that interested me most. The other one I'd like you to look at is August 5th of 2024. The Committee for Justice, Transportation and Business got $500,000 from Propel Florida LLC. And this is a funding reality that is changing the game, and I'll get back to it in a little bit. So now we'll look at Friends of Teresa Mast. Oh, you know what? There is another. I'm going to go back for a second. I'm sorry, you guys, bear with me. There's also a donation in here from Stronger Communities, Strong Communities, for Southwest Florida. Actually, all right. I'm going to go to Friends for Teresa Mast first, and you'll see it there. So Teresa Mast, she has a PAC, which she ran for county commission in Sarasota County in 2024. Her PAC manager, just like Mike Ron, is David Ramba. This is her PAC chart. Again, it's current through July of 2024. And again, you see Benderson Development, you see Schrader Manatee Ranch, that's Lakewood Ranch. You see companies affiliated with Carlos Baruff. And you also see a donation from Strong Communities of Southwest Florida, which in turn got money from Propel Florida. And I asked you, we're going to get to him, that entity at the end. But there's a lot of money being pumped into PACs by this entity. And Strong Communities of Southwest Florida got money from Pat Neal. The Conservative Leadership Committee, I couldn't find this as a PAC. It's actually listed on Sunbiz. But what I did find in the text file, you have to download the text file, is that this entity is doing business as a PAC called Conservatives. And the PAC Conservatives at that time had gotten over $2 million from Pat Neal. So Pat Neal was giving to a PAC called Conservatives. Conservatives was rebranding itself as Conservative Leadership Committee, or vice versa. It's very confusing, but there's a way they're conflating identities, I would say, to hide the fact that this source is affiliated with Pat Neal. So the recent contributions to Friends for Teresa Mast, you know, it's still an active PAC, and she's getting money in her PAC from Citizens for Principal Leadership, Fighting for Florida's Future. And when I go to Propel Florida, so I'll talk about that now. Propel Florida is an LLC that has absolutely no human attached to it. Okay? It used to be, I mean, people recognize Delaware and Wyoming as places that corporations can anonymously incorporate without an actual human being listed as an officer. What's happening now, certainly in the dark money world, in the political committee world, is like Propel Act Florida has no actual officer listed. It's got a principal mailing address. It's got a registered agent name, which is a corporation, which, by the way, is that address is affiliated with another dark money manager. And then the manager that's listed is another LLC. So I look at this and I say, okay, these folks are finding more creative ways. I think ways that should be illegal. I think this is a complete exploitation of campaign finance loopholes and a way to keep voters in the dark. So somebody is using Propel Florida, which has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to PACs. It's a funding mechanism. It's a conduit for money to go into political committees where I can't tell you who it is. Nobody can. At least nobody is copping to that. So who are, what is the connection between the masks and Mr. Ron? Well, many of you may remember, I'm sure you all remember that Mike Ron was instrumental in putting forward John Mast as a candidate for Manatee County Administrator not that long after you were fired, Sherry. Right? Yep. And you can see that this is from 2024. It's a website shot of John Mast with David Ballard, who I believe is he Amanda Ballard's husband?
Yes.
Okay. So John Mast is the CEO, or was at that time, I think he still is, of the Manatee Sarasota Building Industry Association. This group has changed. It changed its name in 2024, I think, because there was some negative association given that Mike Ron putting forward John Mast created a lot of attention and concern. And now it's called the Suncoast Builders Association. So you've got this relationship between John Mast and David Ballard. But Mike Ron served as the Manatee Sarasota Building Industry Association president in 2014-2015, just like, Mr. Mast is the head. He served as its vice president for many years, and he is a lifetime, as it says here, a life director. He's listed at the bottom. And you can see the board of directors include Teresa Mast, include Don Baugh of Vanessa Fine Jewelry. So I assume this is Vanessa Baugh's husband. And you can look at the honorary directors. Michael Neal, I believe that's Pat Neal's son. So Al Mayo was a former Kim Lee Horn executive and a former Sarasota County Commissioner. So you can see that there's tight relationships between Mike Ron and the Masts. Professionally, I also have a source that tells me they vacation together. What does this mean to a voter? This is my opinion, but it's backed up by what I showed you. Mike Ron's mailers are essentially, you can find funding links with Pat Neal, with Rex Jensen at Schrader Manatee Ranch. You can find funding links with Carlos Baruff. You can find funding links with Friends of Teresa Mast. You can find funding links with John Cannon Holmes. You can, you can find questionable links to this Propel Florida, which is an anonymous LLC. You can see other anonymous LLCs in there. What donors to political committees often want is plausible deniability. But when you peel the onion back, and you look at who the donors are, and you look at who has an interest in getting favorable decisions on the Manatee County Commission, the picture for me is pretty clear. And so when I see a mailer from Mike Ron saying he's saying no to overdevelopment, I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. When I look at this, I go, who is this man going to work for? Well, there are definitely links to the funding coming into his personal PAC. It's got his name on it. He's the chair. And the big donors, political donors, the big building donors are linked to funding to his PAC. So I think it's a pretty clear picture. I ask myself, what are the chances of somebody getting that kind of assistance, whether it's Mr. Ron or anybody? When they're getting that kind of assistance, how likely are they to say no to something that one of their donors wants? My experience watching local government for close to 20 years now, not that likely. They're usually a yes vote, and worse than that, often a rubber stamp. So having said that...
That is really interesting research. Thank you for showing us how you analyzed all of that. I'm thinking back like 6 weeks ago, maybe you all received some of the same polls that I receive over the text message, which is, you know, what is the biggest most pressing issue in your community in the state of Florida? And one of the choices was overdevelopment and out of control growth. And I can only assume that a lot of people chose that because of some of these mailers that we're seeing. And that's probably why the Ron campaign has latched onto that. I've seen several actually flyers like the one that you have shown us that talk about how he's going to stop overdevelopment. So there's probably a link there between that polling that they did, they found out what worked, and then they start putting that message on the cards. But when I was getting those polls, I did go back and look at an old news article. I just pulled it up, and I wanted to just, while we're on this topic, it says, this article is from several years ago. It was when Mr. Ron was appointed vice president of the Florida Home Builders Association back some time ago. And this is the quote that they quoted him as saying when he was given that role. He said, "My job is to serve builders and help them fight for what's best for our industry, whether that involves fighting impact fees or inclusionary zoning or working to make housing more affordable. I want the builders to know that the associate members are on the front lines with them." So, I mean, what you've highlighted and what we all know because we dig deep into these things is that just the bottom line is the messages you're getting on those postcards are not what should be guiding you to vote, because you may not be getting what you think you're going to get, what that postcard says, right?
Oh, gosh. I mean, anybody can say they're against overdevelopment. You know, Mr. Ron's whole professional career. And what he said is, you know, in that statement is he's working for builders. And, you know, we need good building. Yeah. But when they have industry associations at work buying local government influence, right? I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Like, and it's cheap for these guys. You know, this is not a lot of money to them. You know, putting $100,000 into a county commission race to get millions of value in housing approvals or infrastructure, it's chump change for them. So very cost effective. And really, I think, you know, until we get better laws, the only antidote is voter awareness.
Yeah. So thank you for the information. And there's a reality to this, right? Yes. Especially the dark money. You know, there's an individual who benefits, and a lot of individuals, a lot of us in campaigns have benefited from this type of financial support. And some of us have been victimized, where they utilize it to attack. And some would say, you know, that's part of it. I think that the message is what we're doing, and Kathy, this is awesome plus one, to be honest with you, is letting the uninformed, the unengaged, and the individuals that may not have as much knowledge as we do, or as you do, shall I say, to know some of the things that go on that attempt to sway the voters, you know, vote, right? Yeah. But just like Misty said, you know, the voter has a responsibility, right, to vet the flyer. The voter has a responsibility to vet where the money is coming from and things of that nature right there. And that's the most important, because if there's any type of message that's out there, right, the messenger is the one that's responsible for understanding the message and how it's going to impact them or things that of their interest. I just, you know, and I would never attack, you know, anybody on how they receive their support, because like I say, I've been a benefactor and a victim, and that's just how life is. That's just how life is in the political world. But what we're doing from your position is saying, okay, you know, follow the money. But I'll be candid, you know, if following some of that money, you know, there's a reality if you've been, you know, around and people have supported in so many different areas and things like that, so they can spread it out. And yes, maybe they are influential, right? Yes, they may have conversations to recommend and things like that. But I think it's still twofold. The voter needs to know, and the candidate or the commission or the elected official has a responsibility, right, to make sure that all involved or the individuals that they represent are served, you know, with an ethical approach, not just by an influential statement. And sometimes that's where you're saying that it becomes very, very difficult and why you're not recommended. And I understand that. And we've lived those recommendations and difficulties.
Yeah. See, I'm going to disagree a little bit.
And that's respectful.
Yeah. 2 points. First is, anyone who's been attacked by these mailers, it's often very late in the game. It's often when the campaign has very little time to respond. And it's often a situation where the candidate doesn't have the kind of money,
right,
to respond. So that's number one. Number two, the system is set up to fool the voter. The system is set up to hide the identities of these donors. I mean, there's been more clarity because of the work that I've done and other people have done to bring clarity. What do? They're incorporating anonymous LLCs, and they're allowed to do it. So what we have is, so I do take some exception, like it's the voter responsibility. It should be, government should be set up so that it's easy. It should be set up to serve the voter, not to confuse the voter. And what we have, because these are powerful, look, Randy Benderson, the big four that I see, Mr. Benderson's company, they build shopping malls. Carlos Baruff ran for Senate. He builds homes, prolific donor. Pat Neal, involved in, you know, choosing judges. He's a former state legislator. He's a prolific campaign donor. Rex Jensen with Lakewood Ranch. This system is set up to benefit them. It's not set up to benefit voters. It's not set up for them to know. It's actually very hard for them to know. So I don't think it's an even playing field. I think it's difficult with our media because, let's face it, those gentlemen and their firms buy a lot of advertising in local newspapers. So calling this out is an uphill climb. But when people do understand it, you know, it does change things. So, you know, I mean, I remember what it was like to be busy. What if you're taking care of an elderly parent? You're working a couple of jobs. You're raising your kids. You know, you're going to it. You're older and you're going to a ton of doctor's appointments. People have other stuff going on in their lives. And it is really a horrible development. We should not normalize this in any way. We've got a bought government and we need to work to undo it. And your county is actually showing Florida, I think, more than any other county. Manatee County has shown Florida how to do it. So I applaud you guys. And I, you know, encourage you to keep on, because when voters do know, they make different choices, but it's very hard for busy people to keep up with this. It's set up so that they can't. And that's really bad for our democracy.
Yeah, I know you gave us the example that we looked at, but I'm just gonna before we close out, I'm gonna throw out a couple new ones because mm-hmm. I also when we had our show with you 2.5-3 years ago, it yeah. really made me start looking at those flyers that you get mm-hmm. at every inch of it. Not just what the candidates were putting on there, but who yeah. it was from, who it was paid for. And when I said I got 10 or 12 different flyers for District 1 county commission seat from people all over, there's this, okay, new thing I've never heard, but I think it's a play on words, Kathy. It sounds mm-hmm. good, right? Sponsored yeah. sponsored by taxpayers for term limits. Now, who the heck is that? But right. it sounds good, right? It sounds right. good. Sounds right. like I'm a good candidate. Here's another one. Sponsored by Leading for Our Future. Well, who wouldn't feel bad about that? But, mm-hmm. you know, again, if I wasn't really in the know, I wouldn't have paid attention to that to see, mm-hmm. you know, who those were. And I wanted to bring up one other thing, and that is since we did go through that really big change in 2024, now we're all getting text messages. We're getting text messages that are more, you know, focused on a particular, like Misty was saying, a topic. But then we've got candidates fighting each other in text message. So you have a text message that comes from one that says support XYZ candidate because they're against growth and large development. But like you're saying, they're funded by development. And yeah. then and the next day we get another text message from, well, yeah, don't vote for that candidate. Vote for my candidate because they're also not for that. I mean, it's gotten to the point where now it's so overwhelming that even candidates in the same party are fighting each other back and forth with these different yeah. messages.
I gotta say, you know, to watch what's going on in the Republican Party, right? Because we basically have one party rule in Florida, which regardless of which party it is really never a good thing, right? Because that breeds corruption. So you've got Republican, grassroots Republicans, both Sarasota County and Manatee County. So I'm going to plug my show. I've got Lourdes Ramirez coming on this week. And we're going to be talking about the local elections. But Republican executive committees in both Manatee and Sarasota County who had duly elected members who were part of movements to bring the government to be more responsive to the voters, to flush out some of the influence of this dark money, those people were removed by the state and they put in the people that they want. So make no mistake about it, the money involved in controlling local government, it it's big money for the people who benefit. It makes fortunes for these folks. And then when your community floods because there's not, because the wetlands weren't protected, right? That's God's natural flood protection in Florida are wetlands. So if you're building too close to wetlands, if you're not keeping up with your water infrastructure, if you're just not requiring impervious surface, there's all these intricate aspects to building properly, right? To building in a way that protects the environment, that reduces traffic. And these guys are used, they want to build the way they want to build. And so far, they've pretty much gotten to do it. And
they figured out how to do it.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, Tom Knight in Sarasota County, he beat a candidate. He had a good amount of money. Neil Rainford, the word I got was there was $1.6 million supporting him for a county commission race. That's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money to the people who benefit from having a rubber stamp.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey,
I know we so appreciate using any type of examples that are going to help citizens know where to look. And I think our message in the Big Picture Manatee has always been not about taking sides, but making sure you know the pathway to learn more, to educate yourself, to get engaged in the community, and to deeply look at all of these issues. And so, again, thank you so much for bringing some of these things to light so people can start to really look. It's August 18th is the primary, and I know everyone's getting flooded with mailers, and I think Kathy made a great point. If you're not getting flooded with mailers from a candidate, look at them too, because they may be the ones that are working more for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much. We want to appreciate you. We want to appreciate everyone here and the folks that are viewing. And we want you to remember that you can watch all of our episodes on the Big Picture Manatee by subscribing. You can go to our YouTube channel. We're also on Facebook. And we will be back with Kathy to see how all this goes, because we're just talking about the primary now. We're not talking about the big deal that happens in November. So thanks, everyone. Really appreciate it. Kathy, everyone, don't forget you can see Kathy on her show. Listen to her, The Detail Weekly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. We're all much better for it, and we will all strive to be more educated. Thank you.
Looking for an affordable, creative, and comfortable venue for your next meeting, celebration, or networking event? Host it at Fogartyville. During the month of June, Sarasota's favorite listening room is undergoing major renovations to meet the needs of our community. It will reopen in mid-July with new bathrooms, new air conditioning, new tables and chairs, improved flooring, state-of-the-art audiovisual equipment, and more. For more information about rentals and to schedule a tour of Fogartyville, call 941-894-6469 and ask for Susan. Your event, our space. Hosted at Fogartyville.
Get your tender kiss. I'll be brave after this. I'll say hello, my darling, if we should meet again. You'll forbid the tears to slip. You'll behave, bite your lip, and say hello, my darling, if we should meet again.